my next guest joining me here on the program, as he does every Wednesday throughout the college football season. He is the lead beat writer covering the Iowa Hawkeyes for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our one and only John Steppe here in Eastern Iowa. Good morning, John. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm an award-winning radio host for the first time in my career.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've inducted myself into our own Ring of Honor here in the 1600 ESPN studios, and I could not be happier about the honor.
Wow, I'm going to have to visit in studio, I think, next week and see this Ring of Honor for myself.
It's extremely impressive. I will leave it to your imagination, or you can check my Twitter account later on today. What were your big takeaways from our lengthy, it was about an hour long yesterday. They each spoke for about 15, 20 minutes, the coordinators and their news conference, John.
Yeah, and each of them really had a lot of insights. With Tim Lester, I was kind of hyper-focused on what he was saying about the passing game, and I specifically asked him about kind of the lack of deep threat. As you look at the numbers, I think it's only about 6% of attempts have been for 20-plus yards per Cade. And Tim kind of attributed a lot of it to, in the Minnesota game, a lot of it to the just game situation where, okay, they had the lead in the second half. So, okay, that game makes sense. But they do still need a passing game. He did say it is an important part of the offense, but that is maybe, I guess, one of the bigger questions I have. The most interesting thing, though, that I think Tim said was that he thought that Cade McNamara had one of his best games against Minnesota. And I think if you look at the box score, I don't know if a ton of people are going to be convinced of that when it was, I think, 62 passing yards. But he talked about, footwork and timing and how those two things are really important. Part of the reason why he's so fond of Kirk Cousins, who he tried to recruit when he was at Western Michigan. So that was kind of the big takeaway from Tim Lester, from Phil Parker. If you are hoping for a clear depth chart for the rest of the season on TJ Hall versus Deshaun Lee, or even Xavier Wampa versus Cohen Entringer, you probably weren't going to get that. It was interesting talking to him about the run defense, and he pointed a lot to personnel on that. He certainly is aware of the explosive plays. That's the very un-Phil Parker-like aspect of this defense through the first four games. And then on special teams, obviously Reese Bacon's been having quite the first four games. But LeVar Woods is also very complimentary of what Drew Stevens has done and has said that Drew Stevens has been a more mature player than he was a year ago. He kind of gave a little bit of a hard time to Drew about how, he's actually reading books now, maybe a page or two a day, but he's reading, and his mom will be happy to hear that. So those are some of the kind of bigger takeaways for me out of yesterday's coordinator availability, which, as you said, hour, maybe even more than that, we got a lot of insights there.
The thing that struck me was Tim Lester apparently didn't get the memo about pretending like they don't hear the outside noise, because when he made the comments about McNamara, I don't necessarily think he was talking to us in the room there, but he did admit, I know this is not going to be popular. So he's aware that people are talking about Cade McNamara and his performance so far this season. If you could wave a magic wand, John, during Iowa's bye week, because they do have Ohio State coming up next weekend, which is another set. We'll get to that next Wednesday morning. But if you could wave a magic wand and fix one thing with this team, what do you think Kirk Ferentz would choose to fix immediately?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
That's why I'm an award-winning radio host, John.
Yes, that's an award-winning question right there from an award-winning radio host.
Jaden, add that to the resume. Thank you.
it's clearly with the passing game. I would say right now it's being better in sync quarterback to wide receivers. And one of the interesting things that Tim was going through yesterday was that, okay, sometimes it's been, you know, good read, good throw, and the wide receiver doesn't run the route quite like how they wanted them to. And as a result, you see an incompletion. So I would say if you can get some of that ironed out, you're not going to have the margin for error to have that against Ohio State, which we can talk plenty about when I see the Ring of Honor for myself. But I would say, yeah, you want whatever glitches there's been with this, you know, wide receiver group in terms of running these routes and not being quite in sync with Cade. I think that's the biggest thing that you need to really get ironed out before next week.
Phil mentioned 3-1 a year ago, 3-1 this year, but 1-0 in Big Ten play in 2024 as opposed to 0-1. Would you agree this team seems to be in much better shape this year, four games into the year, than it was a year ago?
To some extent, I kind of think it's a little bit of a apples to oranges comparison. You look at it, and last year, your first four games included a game against Penn State. This year, they have not gone up against any opponent of the caliber of Penn State. So I don't put the 3-1 in the same conversation there. I do think that Iowa has a particularly favorable Big Ten schedule after you get past Ohio State. So, okay, you could say they're in a good spot there. I would say the biggest concern is we haven't seen them play really a full 60 minutes. Where you look at it and, okay, if you just took the second half of Illinois State, the first half of Iowa State, the second half of Troy, and the second half against Minnesota, you got a really good football team there. Now you take those other four halves, and not so much. So I would say that's the biggest concern with this team at 3-1, is that. And the nice thing about Minnesota is actually a convincing win in that second half. And I think that does maybe make you feel a little better about this team, just considering it took them a little while, but they were able to kind of pull out a convincing win against. Now, Minnesota is not the greatest foe by any means, especially after you look at what some of their previous opponents have done since then. And yes, I'm referring to North Carolina, perhaps against James Madison. But you look at it and, yeah, 3-1 is a good position to be in. As I wrote about on, I think it was Saturday night. On Saturday night, 3-1 is a lot better than 2-2. Kirk Ferentz said something along those lines too after the game. So long answer to your, or kind of short version of the long answer to your question. Yes, they're in a much better position as 3-1. Is it exactly the same as last year when the one loss was to a really good Penn State team? Not so much.
Well, Penn State is Penn State, but I'm sure you were aware of this. Minnesota is an elite program with an elite coach and elite players. Everything about Minnesota is elite. I think it was an elite win for the Hawkeyes to kick off Big Ten play. Speaking of elite, how about the co-Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week? By the way, a lot of mouths to feed when you've got 18 teams in the league. So I totally understand the co-Offensive Player of the Week. But can Caleb Johnson keep this up all season long?
It'll be interesting what happens next week against Ohio State, because if he can do that against Ohio State and that defense, he can do it against anybody. I've been really impressed. It seems like it's just a matter of time in each game before he hits the 100-yard mark. And it's the best running I've seen since being on the beat in 2021. I'd say the best run blocking ahead of him, too. You know, I give most of the credit to Caleb Johnson, but this offensive line does deserve some credit with its run blocking. You know, the pass protection is not quite to the point that I think the run blocking is at, but the run blocking has been outstanding this year as well. And the thing that really has impressed me specifically about Caleb Johnson is the way that he can combine speed and power. I think back to that gain of 23. That was almost the 24-yard touchdown before they reviewed it and found that his left foot was just barely out of bounds. And there was a point where he looked dead in the water. It looked like that was going to be a 3 or 4 yard loss. And I think for most running backs, that would be a 3 or 4 yard loss. But then he breaks a tackle and stays on his feet. And then you see the elite speed. You get 23 yards down the sideline to the 1 yard line. And he was probably millimeters away from that being a touchdown, just in terms of where his left foot was. So there's a lot that he's doing that's really impressive. I would say speed, power, and also his patience, too, where he's been timing hitting some of these holes perfectly. That's another thing that really stood out to me from rewatching the Minnesota game.
John, what does a beat writer do on one's bye week? Well, there are two bye weeks this year. This is the first of two, but what do you have planned this week?
Yeah, I get a little bit more sleep in, just a little bit more. But certainly got a lot of things coming out of the coordinator availabilities. So I'll have that. I'll have one other thing I'll be looking forward to sharing kind of at the end of this week. And then I'll actually get to watch the rest of the college football world. And I will probably have my AP ballot done before 3 a.m. this week. So I will be appreciative of that opportunity as well.
John Steppe of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, appreciate it. And if you come up, if you make the trip and come into the studio on Wednesday, next Wednesday for Ohio State week, I will make sure that it is worth your while, and we'll have some sort of treats for you here, okay? My promise to you.
You just like know the way to my heart with my sweet tooth.
And so I never break a promise. John, appreciate it, and try to enjoy the bye week as much as you can.
Yes, will do. Thank you.
As John Steppe, he joins me every Wednesday at 7:40 throughout the football season. And again, you can read everything that John has covering the Hawkeyes at thegazette.com.